Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message, Making a Fresh Start in My Feelings. We've probably run the gamut of our feelings today and our music already. I'm going to ask all those who can to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In chapter 14, verse 20, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. Then in Mark chapter 12, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak to us today about an important area of our life that it often is used to upset us and to get us off the straight and narrow. Help us, God, to understand our feelings, to control our feelings, instead of allowing our emotions to control us. Speak to us, God, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you noticed that life is full of drama? And it seems like some folks just have more drama than other folks. Drama, drama, drama. And if you're one of those people that just has drama, drama all the time, some folks may refer to you as a drama queen. Or they may refer to you as a drama king. We don't want to leave anybody out. But here's what will happen. If you do not learn how to control your emotions will control you. And if your emotions control you, it will ruin your career advancement. It will ruin your friendship. And it will ruin your relationships. And so it's important that we have control of our emotions. Notice here how many different times we're going to see the word today, self-control. Well, if your emotions are out of control, you lack self-control. But notice here that God wants us to be passionate followers of Jesus Christ. He said, love God with all of your heart. If you'll look on the inside of your bulletin, it appears every week what our mission is. Our goal is to reach people for Christ and to develop them into passionate followers of Christ. Dale, in his prayer, was talking about some of his friends who lament that their church is dead. You want me to tell you what makes a dead church? Dead members. It is followers who have no passion for the things of God. And so passion can be a good thing if it's of God and controlled by God, and it can be a bad thing if it's not. Notice here, as we try to understand our emotions, a couple of truths. Number one, did you know that God has emotions? In John 11, 35, Jesus wept. What emotion is that? Sadness. John 15, 11, he said, I told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Well, what kind of a feeling is that? Well, that's a feeling of gladness. So notice here, Jesus was sad and Jesus was glad. God is not way off somewhere unaffected by what's going on in your life. The Bible says He is touched by what touches you. We serve a God who feels things. He feels pain. He feels sorrow. He feels joy. With that in mind, I want you to understand that your ability to feel something is a gift from God. Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Well, if God has emotions and God feels things and we're made like Him, then we should feel some things too, okay? And if we didn't feel things, we'd just be a robot. God didn't want robots. God wanted people created in His image. But that being said, there are two extremes that we need to avoid. Number one, I need to avoid emotionalism. What I mean by emotionalism, all that matters is how I feel. Have you noticed that when God made folks, they generally fall into one of two areas? Gushers or stuffers. That is, people, they're all the time gushing over in their emotions. Or there are people who stuff their emotions and act like they don't feel anything. And you know, have you ever noticed that a lot of times gushers marry stuffers? God's got a sense of humor, doesn't He? You know what He might be trying to do? He might be trying to get that stuffer to come out a little bit, and He might be trying to get the gusher to hold back a little bit. You see, God wants us to complement each other. And so in emotionalism, it only matters how I feel, you know. So when I come to worship, if I don't have an ocean of emotion, if I don't have a quiver in my liver, if the hair doesn't stand up on the back of my neck, well, I didn't worship God. It doesn't work that way. You see, you can have a lot of emotion at a ball game. There's no spirit to it at all. You can have a lot of emotion at a circus, but that doesn't mean that the Spirit of God has anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" So many times people say, "Well, you know what? You just got to go with your heart." A lot of times you go with your heart, you're going to end up in a ditch. Okay? That's right. Because why? It is deceitful above all things. But a lot of folks, they get caught up in emotion and they think emotion somehow has something to do with God. I was eating last night across from Brother Ken, and we were waiting on our food, and he's telling about being in a revival meeting. He said in this revival meeting, he said somebody about testifying, this fellow got up and he got to running, and he said there's a door. Nobody knew where the door went to, but he took off running, run through that door, and said he was gone for a long time. Said, when he finally come back, he said, "Brother, where you been?" He said, "Man, I went out that door and went slap over that Ford Pinto." Let me ask you something. What's spiritual about that? Where's God in all of that? Nothing. But you see, some folks, they think, well, if I shed a tear somehow, that has more meaning than if I don't. Emotionalism is not the same thing as spiritualism. Well, there's another extreme. And that is, I need to avoid stoicism. And what is that? Well, that is, my feelings aren't important at all. And for a stoic, emotions is like a caboose on a train. You say, how is that? Well, on a train, you can have a caboose or not have a caboose. It doesn't make any difference. And so to them, that's the way it is, emotions. You can either feel something, not feel something, and it doesn't make any difference. And friend, it's not one or the other, it's both and. There are some things you ought to feel, but you ought not to be ruled or ruined by your feelings. So we even see this in church. We see these folks, and it's all about emotions, and you see these others, and they're God's frozen chosen. Okay? God's not pleased with either one. That brings me to the fourth reality, and that is God gave us His Word to help us in this matter. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, did you catch that? A lot of people quote that and they miss it. As you think in your heart. Notice it didn't say as you think in your head. You see, it's not talking about thought, not talking about logic. It's talking about your feelings and your emotions. You see, the heart is the center of your emotions. And so it says, as a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. One of my favorite psalms, and by the way, the psalms is full of feelings and emotions. Every one of them. Every kind of emotion that you could feel. And by the way, how many are they? How many emotions are they? How many feelings are they? We generally think about mad, sad, and glad, right? Well, if you'll go look, there are hundreds of feelings. I was going over the list in preparation of this, and some of these things kind of caught me off guard that psychologists say that these things are feelings. Guilt. Think about it. You say, well, I feel guilty. It's a feeling. But how many of us think of guilt as a feeling? Teenagers? Bored. Yeah, psychiatrists say bored is a feeling. Okay? Tom, do you think about being bored as a feeling? I never did. And it goes on, some of the others, like grief, pride, inspired. Here's one that caught me totally off guard. Love was listed as a feeling. But think about it. When somebody turns around and says, I feel loved. Okay. But you know the one that really jumped out at me? I had a little spell when I saw this. Psychiatrists actually list blessed as a feeling. So you want to know how I'm feeling? I'm blessed. Okay? But notice here in Psalms 1, it says the blessed, happy man of God has a certain characteristic. Notice what it says in verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You understand the blessed, happy man of God has a filter on his feelings. And that filter is the Word of God. You see, when you say, I feel unloved, filter that through the Word of God that says, for God so loved the world. You see, you got to take all of those feelings and filter them. About 20 years ago, 18 years ago, Teresa and I, we built a home over here at Crowder's Mountain State Park. Well, when you build a house on a mountain, guess what? There's lots of rock. When they went to drill the well, they went 42 feet and they hit solid rock. Well, they went another 350 feet before they ever hit water. And I thought, man, we're going to have good water. We're going to have some of that mountain water, you know. It's going to come through the rock. We hadn't been in there about 2 weeks, and everything we had turned orange. It's just not cool having orange underwear. You come to church, you got on a black suit and a red tie and orange shirt. It was white at one time. You see, we had this thing called liquid iron. And when it was oxidizing, it turning everything into rust. Our bathroom, our commode, our sink, everything's turning orange. So we put a filter, a whole house filter system in. And guess what? All of that stuff went away. Why is that? All of that stuff was being filtered before it ever got into our home. And we have a neighbor that lives nearby, and Teresa was telling me, he said, all their white stuff is beige. I said, they need a filter. She said, well, they got one. And I said, well, they don't have a good one. And you see, all of us, we filter the things that comes into our life. And the best filter that you can use is God's Word. And so when I start having these feelings, what does God say about it? And let that filter how I feel. Now, let me tell you why it's important to manage your emotions. Four reasons. Number one, because my feelings are often unreliable. Proverbs 14 says, there's a way that seems to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. A lot of people just go through life on their gut. You know what that means? That doesn't mean they're hungry. That means that they're going by intuition on the inside. It means they're going by a feeling. But you see, feelings are not always authentic. Feelings are not always reality. Feelings are not always true. I had a person tell me just this week, nobody cares about me. What were they talking about? A feeling. Well, I actually know that they have many people who love them and care about them. See, their feeling was not true, even though it was a feeling. Secondly, you want to manage your emotions because you don't want to be manipulated. Proverbs 25 and 28 says, like an open city with no defenses is the man with no check on his feelings. You see, in biblical times, all the cities had walls around them. And by the way, we have a president who wants to build a wall now. And if it's like anything else he's done in life, I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a wall built. And some folks will say, oh, well, that's horrible and that's terrible that we would build a wall. These people just want a better life. You know what I say? We'll take the locks off your doors. And anybody that thinks your house is better than theirs can just move into yours because it'll be a better life. They say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, same thing. By the way, did you know that Saudi Arabia is building a 600-mile wall north of their border to keep ISIS out of Iraq from coming to Saudi Arabia? And the same people that have a conniption fit about a southern wall in America don't see anything wrong with a northern wall in Saudi Arabia. There's a term for that. It's called hypocrite. But notice the Bible says that it doesn't make any sense. You have no protection of a city or a country if you don't have a wall. And he says, and if you don't have some walls up around your emotions, people will manipulate you. Did you know the devil can't read your mind? What are you thinking right now? He can't read your mind. But you want me to tell you what he can read? He can read your emotions. And the devil knows what your hot buttons are. You see, there are some things that just get my goat. Well, I really don't have a goat, but you know what I'm saying. I got a hot button. You press that button, it riles me up. The devil knows what my hot button is. He knows what your hot buttons are. And guess what? If you don't control your emotions, he's going to press those buttons. He's going to upset you all through your life. Notice here what it says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. See, when you become a Christian, you still have your old nature. Your old nature will manipulate you. Did you know selfish people who realize that you are an emotional person, these selfish people will manipulate your emotions to get what they want from you. Do you understand salespeople and marketing experts realize that if they can get you to make an emotional connection to their product, you'll buy it? It's called impulse buying. Has anybody here ever bought something and later thought, ooh, what was I thinking? Huh? Raise your hand. You've done that, huh? Rest of you's lying. It's called buyer's remorse. You know, let me tell you what happened. You made an impulse buy. You didn't think about it. You bought based on emotion. You were manipulated by a good salesperson. Number three, I should want to control my emotions because I want to please God. Romans 8, 6 and 8 says, to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. Did you get that? If you are ruled and controlled by your emotions, you cannot please God. Think about it. If you're one of those that only matters how I feel, you've actually made your feelings your God. You see, your feelings rule your life instead of God ruling your life. You've made an idol out of your feelings. Number four, I should learn to manage my emotions because I want to win at life. Proverbs 5:23, they get lost and die because of their foolishness and lack of self-control. 1 Peter 4:2, from now on then, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. What is human desires? That's your feelings, your emotions. So I'm going to be controlled by the will of God, not by how I feel. Did you know, according to research, your probability of success is based on your EQ, not your IQ. What's the EQ? Emotional quotient. IQ is intelligent quotient. In other words, there's some really, really intelligent people that are failing in life. And there's some fairly average people that are doing great at life. What is the difference? It's their EQ, not their IQ. Now, folks, you and I don't have a whole lot to do about our IQ, but we do have a whole lot to do about our EQ. What am I talking about? Let's take a person, and they have a great big IQ. You know, 165. They're off the chart smart. And there's going to be a big exam at school tomorrow. But I don't feel like studying, so guess what? I'm not going to study. So I take the test, and I do poorly. It's not because I'm not intelligent. It's that my EQ outweighed my IQ. Works the same way in your job. Well, I don't feel like going to work today, so I'm going to call in sick. We don't expect to have some type of career advancement if you are manipulated by your feelings. Listen, you get up and you go to work even though you don't feel like it. Here's what I'm talking about. Have you heard it? If it feels good, do it. That's what's wrong with America. Here's the problem. If it feels good, you do it. And after you do it, you spend the rest of your life paying for a dumb decision you made through your emotions instead of what was right and what was good and what honored God. Well, how can I manage unwanted feelings? We'll give you three steps here. They rhyme. I don't know if that'll help you remember them. Number one, I will name it. That is, I must identify the harmful emotion that is going on. Psalm 55:2 says, hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught. You see, if you don't identify it, you can't cure it. I had a pastor friend of mine, and he was having some health problems and went to the doctor, and they diagnosed him as having heart problems, and he took early retirement at 62 years of age. A year later, he was in horrible pain, went to the dentist, and he says, oh, man. He said, you got an abscess. It's got into your jaw. It's got into your blood. Hey, we're going to have to pump you full of antibiotics. We're going to have to clear up this infection. After we get this done, we're going to extract that tooth. And after they got all that stuff, you know what? He felt like $1 million. He come to find out, he didn't have any heart problems at all. His problem was an abscess tooth that had poisoned his system. So you see, if you can't name it, you can't cure it. If you don't know what it is, you can't fix it. So what's the problem? What is your hot button? What is that thing that the devil uses in your life? If you can't name it, you can't cure it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask a couple questions. Number one, what am I really feeling? You see, so many times we treat the symptom instead of the cause. Now you might think, oh, I know exactly what it is. Oh, do you? Pastor and his wife went in for some counseling. And the counselor said to him, says, Pastor, how in touch are you with your feelings? He said, oh, I'm a sensitive guy. I'm real in touch with my feelings. He said, all right, what are you feeling right now? He drew a blank. After a while, he said, well, to be honest with you, I'm feeling tired and hungry. The counselor said, those are desires. Those aren't feelings. So you see, you're not in touch with your feelings at all. All right, so what am I really feeling? Secondly, what makes me feel this way? Why am I feeling this way? You see, sometimes you go home and get in an argument with your kids or your spouse because somebody said something to you ugly right before you left work, and you go home and you take it out on them, and you don't even realize why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. Doesn't have anything to do with my family. It's that jerk at work. Upset me. And number three, this is so important. What are the triggers? When you get jealous, when you get bitter, when you get angry, when you have these negative emotions, what triggers it? You see, it just doesn't happen. There's a button that got pushed. There was a trigger that got pulled. We have a fellow in our church. I won't call his name because you'd know who he is. But when he first came, he told me this. He said, "Pastor, I like the style of preaching that you have." He said, "It's exciting enough to keep me awake." He said, "But it's not yelling and screaming the whole time." And I said, "Okay, what difference does that make?" He said, "Well, I grew up and my dad yelled and screamed and yelled and screamed." And he said, "Just tears my nerves up. So after a while, I just tune him out." You don't understand what he's saying? It's a trigger. Psychiatrists have a term for it. It's called transference. That is, when somebody makes you feel a certain way and somebody else does something, then you transfer those feelings to this person. And it happens all the time. People don't even realize it. What are your triggers? Number one, I will name it. Number two, I will reframe it. That is, I'm going to challenge how I feel. Job 15:12, it says, "Why has your heart carried you away? And why do your eyes flash?" Job had somebody in his life that you need in your life. And that is, you need a friend, and give that person permission to challenge you anytime your emotions are going astray. Job, he was off the chart emotional. But he had a friend named Eliphaz, and he came to him. He said, "Why is your heart leading you away? Why are your eyes flashing?" What does that mean? Your eyes are flashing. That's flashing mad. I mean, he's mad. He's upset. He was mad and upset at God. But you see, he didn't surround himself with yes people. And you see, when you just get people around you that just agree with you, you will never challenge the things that are going on in your life. All right, so ask these three questions. What is the real reason that I feel this way? All right, so now once you know the real reason you feel this way, ask yourself, is it true? You see, there's a great guy in the Bible by the name of Elijah. And he got in a contest up on the mountainside and called fire down from heaven. The next thing you know, he's running away from Jezebel. He gets to a certain point and he says, "God, I just want to die." I think he's having an emotional day. Okay? But notice there, he wants to run away and he wants to die. He said, "God, I'm the only one left." And God said, "No, you're not. There's 7,000 other people that have not bowed down to Baal." But notice here, he wanted to run away and he wanted to die. There are people in this room right now that on a regular basis, you just want to run away and die. Because you think you're the only one like you. And just like Elijah, nope, there's lots and lots of other people just like you. And by the way, do you know what God did? God sent an angel to strengthen Elijah. You know what he did? He fixed him something to eat, and then he took a nap. You know, a lot of stuff could just be fixed in our life if we just slow down, step back, take a nap, get something to eat, and refresh and renew our spirits and our bodies so that our mind could deal with what we're dealing with. And then the third question, this is the most important one, is what I'm feeling helping or hurting me? Is what I'm feeling helping or hurting me? All right, so when you're in this emotional roller coaster, is this helping my marriage or hurting it? Is this helping my job or hurting my job? Is this helping my friendship or hurting it? Is this helping my parenting or is it hurting my parenting? All right, so I'm going to name it, and then I'm going to reframe it, and then number three, I'm going to tame it. I'm going to identify it, I'm going to challenge it, and then I'm going to let God cure it. How do you do that? Two ways. Number one, sometimes you need to change what you feel. Philippians 2:5 says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Right? So sometimes I've got a bad attitude. Sometimes I have bad emotions. And I just need to change them to something better. And where do I start? I start by asking, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus be angry? No. Would Jesus be bitter? No. Would Jesus be yelling? No. Would Jesus be worried? No. You ask, what would Jesus do? And then what do? You're going to change your thought processes. You're going to change your thinking to how Jesus would handle it. And then secondly, sometimes you need to channel what you feel. That is, you're going to channel all those emotions from something bad to something good. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't look at your list. Don't look at your outline. Look up here at me. Can you name the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit? Most people got the first 3 down. Love, joy, peace. You know, I believe most folks stop there. You know why? The next one's patience. Yeah. But I want to challenge you to memorize these 9 fruits of the Spirit. And then what you want to do is you want to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me with love, with joy, with peace, with patience, with goodness, with gentleness, with faithfulness, with self-control. You say, I want to be filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share with you in a moment why. The last verse I'm going to share with you is this. Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You know what the psalmist is praying? God, I want you to be in charge of my emotions, the meditations of my heart. Several years ago, I was at a faith evangelism conference in Charlotte. And for lunch one day, they took all the pastors to the Speedway, big, nice, fancy restaurant over there at the Speedway. And I got to sit with the facilitator and with Joe Brown, the pastor at Hickory Grove. And we're sitting there, and Joe Brown was telling us at the table that his 5-year-old grandson had died. That's hard for me to imagine what that's like. I don't have but one grandson. He's only 1.5. But Joe said something. He said, you know, when my grandson died, some people asked me, are you mad at God? He said, absolutely not. He said, when my grandson died, he said, that made me more determined than any time in my life to tell people about Jesus. He said, I know my little grandson's in heaven, and I want everybody to go to heaven and to meet him and see what a great guy he is. You understand, he took an emotion of grief and of anger, and he channeled it into something good. Brother Ken, you remember when you came to my house? My sister had just shot and killed herself. And he came over there, and he hugged on me. We were on my front porch, and I looked at Ken, and I remembered what Joe Brown said. And I looked at Ken, and I said, Brother, I'm more determined now to tell people about Jesus than I ever have. Because, you see, the hope of our world is to fall in love with Jesus Christ and be filled with the Spirit of the living God. I was going to do this, but I forgot. I was going to bring me a tube of toothpaste up here. All right, so you imagine I got one, right? If I had that tube of toothpaste and I squeezed it, what would happen? Well, if I took the cap off and I squeezed it, toothpaste would come out, right? If I had a bottle of shampoo and I squeezed it, what would come out? Have you noticed that when you squeeze toothpaste, peanut butter doesn't come out? What comes out is what's in it. And you understand, in the pressures of life, when you and I are squeezed by life, let me tell you what comes out. It's what's on the inside of us. And so if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, if I am filled with love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness, and life squeezes me in, you know what comes out? The Holy Spirit's fruit in me comes out. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who is here today and you feel pressured. You feel squeezed. You might be feeling squeezed at work, squeezed at home. It might be in the issues of your health. It might be in issues of your finances, but you're feeling squeezed. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to say, God, I want to be so full of Jesus. I want to be so full of the Holy Spirit that when I'm squeezed by life, that this lost in world will see that Jesus makes a difference in my life and will make a difference in their life if they'll surrender control of their life to Jesus Christ. So my question to you today is what's in control of your life? Is the devil manipulating your emotions to ruin your friendships, your relationships, your family, your career? Would you come today and say, God, I don't want to be manipulated by the flesh. I don't want to be manipulated by selfish people. I don't want to be manipulated by the devil. I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will only take control of your life as you yield it. And you and I have to yield every day, every moment, to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of commitment and time, Lord, of invitation, God, I pray that you would invite all of us to come and make, God, your word and what you say about us the filter to our thinking and to our emotions. God, help us that we will please you in every area of our life. Help you, God, that we will win at life by naming it, reframing it, and taming our emotions. Fill us, God, with yourself, with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.